Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it. Back at you on a Monday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. He made it in from Nashville, Tennessee. Colton Stone, fresh off his bachelor party. We're back from Chicago, so there's lots of stories to tell. I'm old. He is not. So we'll focus on Colton's time in Music City. Lots to get to with Nebraska football, the Big Ten. Some more thoughts on Big Ten Media Days. We'll hear from a couple of players on the defensive side of the ball. We just didn't have time to get to on Friday or Thursday, for that matter, or Saturday morning. Thanks to those of you who participated in Tee Off for Treasures and what you've given financially and time-wise with Tyson's Treasure Chest. We had an amazing time Saturday morning out at Woodland Hills doing our show there with the 6th Annual Tee Off for Treasures Golf Tournament. And such a great cause, a great family to think about and help fight and raise money for pediatric brain cancer and also the treasure chest at children's hospitals. So that was a good weekend. I spent time with Junior yesterday and Saturday. That's kind of what I did. We'll hear from Carter Coughlin, rush hand extraordinaire from the Minnesota Golden Gophers. So that will be coming up. It was good to sit down with him. That conversation in about 20 minutes. We'll get into the NFL because you have Zeke Elliott holding out, threatening to leave the country. And you have the NFL not moving forward with Tyreek Hill. They're not going to suspend the guy. Coach Charlie McBride, we were in Charlie's stomping grounds of Chicago. We'll get his take on what he heard and saw from Coach Frost in Nebraska. Greg Smith. I have missed Greg. We mentioned Charlie's hometown of Chicago. Chicago is Greg Smith's hometown as well. So a recruiting hit with Mr. Greg, and time permitting, a conversation with a really talented defensive back from Penn State, John Reed. You can get involved, 466-3776-800-825-5865. Find us on Twitter. Give us a follow. Chris Schmidt at Schmidt underscore radio. Colton Stone, two birds, one stone, where you follow Colton. And email Chris at HailVarsity.com. So we spent some time Saturday talking about realignment, if that should be a thing again within the Big Ten. I kind of like it where it's at. I think you trade Northwestern for Michigan State if you were to spice up the West. I love Coach Frost's answer. The West has been down because Nebraska has not been good enough. Mm-hmm. That's very fair, but the West is on the rise. And if you look at the coaches in the West, there's no off week. They may have down teams, but you're not going to get down coaching.
Right.
That's what I believe. When it comes to college football attendance, another topic of discussion, Pat Fitzgerald went off on cell phone use, and God love him for doing it. We're guilty of it. We'll spend some time on that. Major League Baseball Hall of Fame yesterday, a wonderful class for 2019, a couple of DHs, a couple of aces, and then Mariano Rivera. And I did not look up how many blown saves the guy had in his career. Very few, but he'd always bounce back. So we'll spend some time on the Hall of Fame baseball class of 2019. Without further ado, Colton Stone, back from Nashville, lay it out, your bachelor party. Did you have any spicy chicken?
Yes, Friday. Okay,
So you landed and did what?
So we drove, actually.
My God.
It wasn't that. I mean, we could have had more room in the car, but
Dude, it's no good.
So we drove in. We dropped our stuff off at the Airbnb, and the first thing we did was I looked up. There were two pizza places I wanted to go to while we were down there. So we did that, got pizza and beer the first night. And then Friday, Friday, the main goal was just to like
survive.
Kill time until dinner and the bars. We went to dinner at 8 and we got home at 3.
Good work.
So,
did you pace yourself?
Yeah, I mean,
you look like hell.
At $10 a drink, I think you have to pace yourself.
Sounds like Chicago.
No covers, but they get you. It's the backdoor cover. They give you the $10
look,
drink.
A domestic bottle, $9.99.
I had a craft beer that was $9, and then there was a couple that were like 7 or 8. So.
You drank a lot of Busch Light this weekend because it was cheap?
No, newfound love for vodka Red Bulls.
It's kind of blackout juice, and it also counteracts.
Yeah, you get half a can of Red Bull, and then you get the other half with your vodka. I think I have a new drink of choice. So
vodka Red Bull?
With lemon vodka, yeah.
Okay, all right.
So, and then
did you do Citron?
I like Deep Eddy.
All right.
Lemon vodka.
All right.
I think one place I couldn't tell what they put in it, so they just picked one.
Did you wake up with a tiger in your room?
No tigers. The first night we did watch The Hangover, and like here's the game plan of what not to do. And I said if you guys lost me for 2 months before a wedding, we'd have more issues than me being on a rooftop somewhere in Vegas.
So the characters you went with lay out, and you can change their names to protect the innocent. But was there a Zach Galifianakis in the group?
Yes.
Okay. One of your buddies?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've known him basically my entire life.
So these guys took care of you.
Uh-huh.
I was 8 when I went to Nashville last. So, what's the main street there?
Broadway.
Broadway.
Yeah. Shocking. Hell of a time.
Right. So you heard music.
Yeah.
You drank Red Bull and vodka.
Mm-hmm.
And beer, you had a good time.
Yeah. So the...
You sound just destroyed right now.
Yeah, I'm glad my voice is kind of back because my voice was cracking all of Saturday and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But Friday, Friday, the last place we went to, didn't know the name of the place till we left and saw the receipt. But it was called the Valentine. It was 4 floors, the top being the rooftop. Mm-hmm. Different music on each floor.
Cool.
And then another place was, it was like 2 or 3 floors and different live bands on each floor. So it's one of those that like, I kind of get why the drinks are so expensive because not everybody's going to like tip the band or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's like, hey, it's the experience on top of what
you're
getting.
So who did you hone in on musically? I mean, what type of music did you want to hear? Did you want to hear country? Did you want to hear alternative? Did you want to hear just metal? I mean, because Music City is Music City.
Yeah, right. So I wanted a lot. They did not play Brooks and Dunn no matter how many times I screamed it.
Okay.
They tabled that one apparently. But
maybe you were screaming too often.
Probably. But yeah, no, there was a good mix. They played some like 80s, 90s rock. They played some alternative stuff. They played like some.
Were they just some throwback country?
Stuff. Yeah, they did some current country, some old country. So it was like a good mix no matter where you went. And the last place we went to, the rooftop, was like an actual like hip hop DJ.
Okay.
So that was like, you know, cap the night with something newer.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday, I went to bed at like 4:30 on Friday. Well, I guess Saturday. So
sure.
I woke up like 6 hours later, and then we went to Lynchburg and went to Jack Daniels basically for the whole day. So
nice.
That was a good time.
So, okay. So you went to Lynchburg. You went to Broadway.
Yeah.
Did you purchase any cowboy boots?
I did not.
You thought about it, though.
One of my buddies was like, that's the one thing I'm doing when we're down there. And he's like, depends on what my bank account looks like, though. And we found there was like a emporium for cowboy boots that was buy one, get two free. And I was like, that's a good deal until you find out the first pair is probably $500
right.
And then you get 2 more pairs. So no one did. We thought about it, but was not on the itinerary.
Was anybody detained or tased?
If anyone would have been, it would have been me. I bought a $6 hot dog, if that counts for anything. The guy said it was, well, again, inebriated Colton here, going to the mind of me.
You remember everything?
Most of it, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Better than me on my bachelor party.
I walked by this guy and he was selling hot dogs and he said they were $5 and like I was like, I'll give you 6. So I Venmo'd him $6.
Sweet
and,
Lord.
Yeah.
Just
it was
in one of them moods.
It was a great hot dog. I was trying to flex on the guy that I could pay him an extra dollar for the hot dog. But But no, it was a good time. And then, you know, no one got in trouble. So that was a good thing, too.
It would get sick.
No.
Really?
Including me.
Are you guys vets at this, or are you just not, you don't go over the cliff?
I think part of it was that.
Probably by the end of it.
There's that. And when you're, like, listening to so much music and moving to so much music, like, and how hot it was, like, on rooftops and stuff, you're sweating the alcohol out as you're,
Didn't wake up, like, wanting to jump off a roof?
I think we all did, but, like, not like, head between our legs, like, just saying a couple Hail Marys,
right.
And, you know, yeah, so... A cup of coffee in the morning and another Red Bull and call it a day.
All right. Okay. Last question. Did you hit a Waffle House?
We were right by a Waffle House and a Shoney's, but we didn't go to either one.
Right. But, any non-music venues? Or is that for the book? Later.
There was no cover for a gentleman's club, but we did not go because they closed at 3 and we left the bars at 2:40.
Okay,
so.
That's fine, dude. I mean, there are landmarks along the way when it comes to bachelor parties, and I'm wondering.
We did, however, I've never had like real Nashville hot chicken because I'd only been there one time, but we went to this place right by our Airbnb and I got hot chicken and beignets. And apparently for breakfast, like they do Sunday brunch where they do stuffed French toast and hot chicken.
Ooh.
Or they do like breakfast Bloody Marys for two.
Ooh.
And it's this giant Bloody Mary with two whole chickens on it. So
that is sweet.
Yeah, we didn't go back because we had to leave earlier than they opened. But that was the next move.
Well, good for you. You're banned from giving blood or plasma for about 2 weeks.
for a good 48-hour detox.
It will be Red Bull and vodka. I wanted to hear about your time. Congrats. Happy for you. And I'm glad it worked out well and there was no tasing or detainment. No tattoos? Anyone get hammered and go get a tattoo?
No. And if it would have been anybody, it probably would have been me.
So you had a good bunch of friends.
Yeah.
That would look out for you.
Right. Yeah, they all had enough to like hang out, but they all kind of know their own limit and we're like, it's not for them.
Look at you and your maturity.
Yeah.
And see if you ask Pat Fitzgerald tongue in cheek here, your demo is the downfall of college football attendance. he didn't point to millennials specifically, but Pat Fitzgerald was asked about college football attendance. And I was right there in his small table podium session on Friday. And we had to go back and start the show at 4. So I kind of hoofed it back to Radio Row in the dungeon. So I did not hear this part until it came out later. But Pat Fitzgerald asked about college football and attendance and what the problem is. We'll get into it a little bit further. It's not a problem at Nebraska, but it's... At some point, it will be more of an issue, you would think, when the younger fans become the older fans. But here's Fitz.
I think phones, I think technology has been the decline in attendance, number one. I think, you know, watching young people today live like this instead of like that. You know, Stacey and I were out on a date last night, and there was two groups of couples sitting next to us, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm old. Like, not one of the four couples were talking to each other. They were all on their phones. And it just drove me up to... I literally wanted to be like a dad and go, like, give me your phone, talk to each other. I mean, this is pathetic. So it was really, really pathetic. And I think it's just changed the way a lot of younger people and younger fans intake is all through technology. And, I mean, you watch a concert and everybody's holding their phone up. Like, listen, watch. Take it in, create a memory, because they don't go back and watch the videos. They just want to post it on their social media, which is pathetic because it creates a society of, look at me, isn't my life great? Even though when they go home, they're like, I hate myself, I hate my life, everything's wrong. So I think it's a big cause. I think it's the root cause, number one. You know, I think the fans that grew up going and tailgating and the fans that grew up going to the stadiums 4 hours before the games are getting a little older. And I think the next and younger generation of fans are more reliant on technology. They'd rather have 12 TVs set up in their in their TV watching cave than go to a game and experience the pageantry and the tailgating. So I think it's definitely things that we need to look at as a brand, college football, on how we can maybe create that type of environment and experience while respecting our communities and our neighborhoods to make sure the experiences that are happening don't impede on those neighborhoods.
Pat Fitzgerald, do you agree the reason attendance is dwindling is because of your smartphone? I think he's onto something and he's intelligent. And yeah, that is who he's recruiting, a different athlete. He's recruiting a different dude that is super smart and very social and able to communicate. I mean, every kid you talk to from now till the end of time at Northwestern will be able to look you in the eye and put a sentence together.
Mm-hmm.
They're fantastic. But I think, yeah, I mean, that's your season ticket holder in 15 years. And it's also your tailgater. It's also your donor. And it's instant gratification. And it's kind of up to parents with kids. If your kid says, "I'm bored," like Junior does, is the answer to hand him a tablet so he'll stop whining? Or is it to engage him? So we'll spend some more time on that next segment. Carter Coughlin also on the way. Hail Varsity continues.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. Send us a tweet at @Schmidt_radio. At Two Birds, One Stone. College football attendance declining. Is Pat Fitzgerald right? 466-3776 because of the almighty smartphone. Here's my take. I think he's right. I think you have a fan base, a younger fan base, and I'm talking about Junior, my little guy. Is he playing football this year? No. He's not playing football this fall. I'm kind of pissed about it. It's okay. I'm not going Marv Marinovich here with a trank dart threatening to jab his neck saying, "You will play defensive end, damn it." Not going to do that to him.
This year.
Okay. If you're wondering who Marv Marinovich made his odd-looking ginger son, Todd, some football machine, right? He played at USC. He tried cocaine before he tried a McDonald's cheeseburger. Daddy was the ultimate helicopter father. "You'll do 8 more squats. Do it now." Listen, kids, and I'm going to use you, Colton. You're 21-ish going on 22.
22 going on 23.
Okay. And if you have a choice to go to a Nebraska game, buy season tickets to a Nebraska game, or spruce up your Husker den and throw a party, what are you doing when you're not working?
Yeah, I guess it kind of depends, because I'm kind of at the
opponent.
Mostly, if it's conference, I don't care if it's Rutgers or Illinois. I'd probably still go. If it's like a Troy or a Northern Illinois,
that are 2-0 against Nebraska in their last two outings.
Right, but the idea, or like South Alabama, a team like that, where I might be a little more hesitant depending on if it's an 11 o'clock or whatever, but. If it's a conference game or if it's a big non-con, like, I personally would rather, especially now that I'm 21, I would rather go tailgate, something I've never done as a 21-year-old.
You're working. We're working.
Right.
Yeah.
Go tailgate and go to the game. I mean, it's one of those that, and I don't take, like, my bachelor party, we took one picture and we had to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
It was at Jack Daniels. Like, I was going to hang out with people. I didn't, like, care.
Your
that
phone wasn't out, and you're not right. Selfieing all day.
Right. I might shoot a couple texts, take a couple Snapchats here and there, but it was never like, targeted to specific things. Like, I would rather just go experience it, and if it's too expensive, like, sure, I'll stay home. But like, if I have the choice, like, if those are my two choices, I'd rather be at the games and go tailgate.
That you grew up that way. I grew up that way. How many kids are growing up that way where it's a family outing priority, and that's what it was for the Schmidts.
Right.
Dad had West Balcony seats, It was a glorious era of Nebraska football, but we were there before they went. I saw their last loss to the University of Washington in 91, and I saw their next loss to Texas and Ricky Williams in 98. Mm-hmm. We were at every home game in that 7-season span. And you had some really good home opponents. And granted, our gigs are a little different because we cover them.
Right.
But I'm just putting myself in the shoes of the 30-year-old that's out there that has a well-paying job, has a family. Did they grow up with it? Are they going with family? And that's really it.
Right.
Right, at least from a Nebraska perspective. And you've got season tickets, and Frost was talking about it, that his grandparents bought season tickets right after World War II, and those have been their seats forever. Mm-hmm. So Nebraska is unique. USC, Boulder, mm-hmm. right? Texas. I mean, go down the list to pick a school, and kids will go tailgate. Young adults will go tailgate and have a good time. But if the team's not performing, they're not winning, or they're not exciting, mm-hmm. there's zero investment. They're going to do something else. How energized is your fan base?
Yeah.
And for the first time in forever, Nebraska's fan base, and pick your sports, basketball, baseball, football, mm-hmm. they are genuinely energized. And there's been a bump with the amount of coaching changes that's gone on where it's new, so there's a little shine on it, but this is new and it's Frost, and everyone's geeked up because Nebraska is going to get back to being Nebraska, you believe. You've got a quarterback like Adrian Martinez. You've got a guy like Mo Berry in the defense, man. Mm-hmm. They're going to be better. You can feel like excitement again because it's going to be better, and Nebraska's going to start winning big games again. So you're going to go, and if you're not going, you'll jump on the bandwagon to go because mm-hmm. Nebraska is going to be good again. It won't be an issue. Not that it's been a big problem, but Nebraska had invested in better Wi-Fi when the Shermanator was here because things were dwindling. Nebraska was, they went 9-4 one year, and then they'd gone under 500 the rest of the time.
Right.
Right? And look at Northwestern. I mean, that place is a ghost town. It's a high school stadium. Michigan isn't as intimidating. Ohio State's always packed because they're always knocking on the door and winning.
Right.
Michigan State, it's embarrassing, as good a program as that is, if it's 38 and cloudy, which it can be, in October and November. I remember the Nebraska-Michigan State game where Nebraska won on the last second, right?
Yeah.
The out route.
Yeah, yeah.
Le'Veon Bell's running the football. There was like 50 people in the stands because it was butt cold mm-hmm. outside. That's it, is weather. Are you going to put up with the elements for a 7-6 football team? No. Are you going to put up with the elements when Oklahoma's coming to town and it's for a trip to the Orange Bowl when there's meaning? Yes, you will in this state. So I don't worry about it in Nebraska. Other programs, it's an issue.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too. And Nebraska's a bit of the exception to the rule. Texas,
it's
Ohio
a different
State,
animal.
Yeah. And a lot of those other programs, it's the history, but it's also the current standard of what they're playing. But you know, not to target Pat Fitzgerald directly, but you look at Northwestern, they, until recently, they weren't great. So it's kind of like one of those.
They're not elite, but
right.
they are good, and they're good. Dangerous.
Right. They may knock off a big, you know, a Michigan or someone like that every year, or have a late comeback like they did against Nebraska
contention.
Every year. Right. But at, you know, you're not going to go necessarily as someone in Chicago that is going to go to Northwestern and Akron. You're not going to go to the Northwestern Duke game unless, like, so for some reason it matters. You know, you might go to the Notre Dame game
sure.
because you get to watch Notre Dame play, right? But it's one of those that, like, you're also in a city, too, where
lots to do.
There's so many things to do. And it's the same thing with the LA schools. Like, unless USC's killing it, you know.
But even then, man, you've got half the Coliseum. I mean, you've got jerseys yeah. covering seats. I mean, it holds 109,000
yeah.
and there's things to do in LA. That's what it comes down to. How much else is there to do in your community?
Mm-hmm.
And are you staring at your, think about this, your son, your daughter, your grandson, your granddaughter, say you're taking them to a Nebraska game. Are they on their device? Some of them, yeah. I mean, I'll be on my device, but I'm listening to the play-by-play of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also early 40s.
Yeah.
What's it about? Is it a social event where it's time for pictures? And Fitzgerald's not wrong with the look at me society. It's an issue.
Yeah.
I mean, don't You're not that important. It's okay.
Like if I didn't,
you're not a social media influencer in the making.
Mm-hmm.
Just be you and learn how to look people in the eye, and that takes work.
Yeah, and again, going back to, I mean, because I was just there for 4 days. Like, unless I tell people I was in Nashville, you'd never know. Because except maybe my bank record.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be the only other
way. You didn't go there. You went there with friends because you wanted to have the memories like Fitzgerald was talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. And I think the other thing, too, with attendance is we were talking about it. You and I both, you know, I wasn't going to 7 games a year, but I'd go to one or two.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go to
the games.
Yeah. You're going to go to an Idaho State and then a conference game mm-hmm. or whatever it may be. Or if tickets just happen to roll in. So when we had them, we'd go. And I think what's happening a lot of times at a place like Northwestern, a place like Michigan State, and again, Nebraska is the exception.
Let's go to Purdue,
Minnesota, you know, whatever it may be, that the people that like would have been going to those games growing up weren't going to great football all the time.
Very inconsistent. And
right.
Some years you'd be home. A good year for them is 9-4.
Right. So then you're getting into your 30s, you know, late 30s, early 40s, and you're having your own kids, and you never had the passion to go yourself.
It dwindled a bit.
Right. So you kind of are like, I can watch it at home. I care a little bit. But if, you know, if it's not a big game, it's not a big deal to me.
Well, and this directly affects recruiting,
right?
Where the priority now is we need you, ... to either walk on or get a scholarship or walk on and earn a scholarship
mm-hmm.
because you've got a whole generation of Nebraska kids that there were some games where they wanted to just stay in the parking lot and hang out, or they aren't Nebraska fans because, well, they remember USC tearing Nebraska limb from limb.
Mm-hmm. I
from a national relevance, it's been since Sue, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the national relevance associated with Scott Frost, yeah, you got buzz for Adrian in Nebraska, but it's, my God, look how good Central Florida is, and look at Scott Frost. Look at Scott Frost with Oregon and Marcus Mariota. I mean, that fascination, right,
mm-hmm.
where that's what's turning heads and getting recruits to spend time. It's not really Nebraska as much as it is Frost and his track record.
Right.
And you just got to kind of regenerate and reintroduce your kids or your grandkids to Nebraska football games again and have a decade or so where Nebraska's in contention for championships, where it's not only cool to go to Nebraska games, and it's always fun, but now it's really potentially going to become a lot of fun because you're winning and you're winning big games. You can't put a price on that memory with family,
mm-hmm.
and you can't put a price on, as good as your Husker bar and den may be, and my pops prided himself on having the sweetest TV and the wettest bar
mm-hmm.
for Nebraska games, and they were road games because we were there if they were home games. You can't put a price on being there for Alex Henry's kick to beat Colorado. You can't put a price on Sue dismantling
Hawkins. Yeah.
Right? You can't put a price on watching Helu go for 3 bills on Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to put a price. That first touchdown, were you there for Adrian Martinez's introduction to college football in Nebraska? Where he shakes a dude who's got a clean shot at him, goes 47 down the sideline, and somersaults in for 6.
Right.
And the place erupted. There's no substitute for live.
Mm-hmm.
There just isn't.
Yeah, and even like I was in the stands for that Michigan State game where we all thought it was done, and then
Riley caught it.
Yeah, all of a sudden the place erupts. So you can't trade that for anything.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Promise you we'll have that Carter Coughlin interview coming up at some point. Too much to get to here with college football attendance and Pat Fitzgerald. Our cell phones, evil. They're difficult. They're also extremely convenient. 466-3776. I think the biggest problem with attendance sucking in college football is your teams aren't always great. I mean, even in Alabama, Saban's sacrificing some team before they got LSU, and the student section isn't there. And he calls them out. He's pissed about it. But Nebraska, and I'll throw in A&M, are pretty unique with their fan support, no matter who's playing. And even in down years, they're still pretty strong. Will it kind of continue? I think the answer to that is yet to be seen. I think Nebraska's always going to be pretty strong with representation and fan support. But how rabid is it depends on what you're doing on Saturdays. Does it wane a little bit? Yeah, if you're going 9-4 and losing some teams, you're supposed to, air quote, be superior then. And eventually Nebraska will get out of that funk, you know, or they're going to try to anyway. Reminder to buckle up. Something's got to stop that motion. Airbags aren't enough. Seatbelts or windshields. Choice is yours. The seatbelt prevents excessive injury when your vehicle and body need to slow down. That applies to the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket a message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Let's spend some time on Zeke Elliott, Cowboys talented back. He wants himself a raise, and he wants himself a new contract. Zeke's the fourth highest paid back, and his option pickup for his fifth season for 2020 is $9.1 million. Zeke is touching the football a hell of a lot. Zeke is he the straw in this Cowboys offense?
No.
Is he a guy that you have to win? You've got Amari at wideout, mm-hmm. got a good offensive line, mm-hmm. you've got Dak at quarterback, and I think your defense is flat out
pretty good.
Sick.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. We've talked a little bit before. I bring up Zeke because while he holds out, Ezekiel Elliott may not be in Dallas. It's one thing to hold out and be, I don't know, in the country. It's another thing to plan to be out of the country. That is for Pro Football Talk. He may find his way to Mexico. That's where he spent the six-week suspension in 2017. Mm-hmm. If you're Dallas, do you cave and give this guy a new deal?
No.
I don't. You can't. But they will. They kind of broke down Zeke's rushing numbers. And it's a different deal now when it comes to running the football. Okay? You used to run to... You run for a myriad of reasons because you've got a back like Zeke. He's good. And he's a big play threat running and catching.
Right.
But you also do it to keep another team's offense off the field. And you've got situational football when it comes to running the ball. You've got closeout, four-minute offense. You got red zone, field shrinks. How do you get in to get seven instead of three? And then you have your short yardage situations on third and two. Well, you have a situation with Zeke that if you go through the numbers, he's not elite when it comes to touches and greatness when it comes to closing out the game. 15% of his carries are for the four-minute offense. 5% are red zone. Short yardage is 14%. You got a guy that was suspended six games in 2017. You've got this off the field. You've got the five counts of alleged domestic violence in 2016. You've got him pulling the woman's shirt down. Was that New Orleans? That was downtown Dallas, wasn't it?
I think, yeah.
Where Zeke had a lovely woman standing next to him, and he went peekaboo. That was not cool. You have the bar fight in Dallas. Mm-hmm. So who knows what the fixers working for Jerry have done that didn't make it. I mean, I think Zeke's probably got a history of just being a bastard back to his days at Ohio State. Based on the fact that, okay, this is all off-the-field, stupid decision-making is happening now that he's a pro, do you get less mature the older you get? I don't think so. And then he was detained at a Las Vegas music festival back in May. That's why I asked if you got tased or detained. But do we have Stephen A?
Yeah, I just have a thought.
Yeah,
I will never say that he's not an elite running back.
I think he's great. I think he's elite, but I think he's replaceable.
Right. I think that's the thing that people seem to forget about is Dallas typically. Now, I know there have been off years, and even when they go 8-8, but they have a pretty good, if not great, offense.
You got a great O-line. But that great O-line is getting some miles on them, too.
Exactly.
They're in year 5, year 6
right.
together.
So I just think that what's more important than an elite running back is having a good to great running back, but an even better offensive line. I think they could find a running back easily in another draft that may take a year or two to develop, but is going to be a lot cheaper than showing.
Well, they got the kid Alfred out of Washington.
Yeah,
that is very similar. I mean Zeke because of his big playability. Stephen A. made me laugh with this take, and he lost it on Ezekiel Elliott, and he is right. Here's Stephen A. from this morning on what you do if you're Dallas.
Wouldn't budge an inch. I wouldn't give him a damn thing for now. Let me explain. I don't give a damn about your numbers. Fact of the matter is, in 2017, you got suspended for 6 games. You just finished visiting the commissioner's office, if I recall correctly, because you got yourself into some other questionable incident. How do I know I can trust you? Let's be real about it, and let me just be very, very clear. Part of the reason you get paid, obviously, is your skill sets and your level of production. Another reason why people get paid in the real world is when you prove you are trustworthy. Ezekiel Elliott has yet to prove he's trustworthy. We don't know if that brother gonna get suspended again. Let's just call it what it is. Because of the stupidity or the incidents that he has found himself in on several occasions, ironically, as if the brand of the Cowboys can be besmirched by anybody else. I mean, this brother finds a way to do it.
Dude, Stephen A. was wound up, and he's just like, dude, let's call it what it is. I don't trust the guy, and if I'm Jerry, I wouldn't either. You're getting a basement bargain on Randy Gregory. And I think Randy will find his way onto the field again. And he was great for you when he was not suspended. Zeke's the fourth pick overall. You pay the guy. It goes beyond trust with me. It's not the fact, will he or won't he get suspended? Is he going to change his behavior? Dallas can put 15 babysitters around him and it still won't matter. I just think there's an amount of mileage every back has. And I think by the time this thing's done, he isn't going to be Frank Gore going into year 78. I mean, Zeke's going to be like Eric Dickerson where you have 5 or 6 years and then you're done.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Got a tweet to get to from Chris on Pat Fitzgerald and the reason college football attendance is dwindling. Good stuff from Chris. We'll get to it in a minute. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Charlie McBride's 10 minutes away. Austads is just a click away. Austads.com. Get the experience of fit. Get fit, not fits. Get fit with custom golf clubs. Why? It's going to make your game better. You'll enjoy it. The process is painless. And Chris DeBus can make that happen for you. It just takes a little bit of time for you to click on Austads.com, set an appointment, go see Chris, and let him do the video analysis. Let him track your ball speed. Let him track the club head speed. Let him find the carry distance and then match you with the clubs, irons, hybrids, driver, putter. It's all there. I got the video analysis treatment. Found some hybrids that I really like. Found a putter that, well, it works for me. It Austads makes me smile, man. I have had a lot of fun in limited rounds, and I've played a lot better. I have not lost as much money. It's been a good time in all seriousness. Austads can help you out, and Chris DeBusk, their master fitter, there for you, and he'll find you irons or hybrids or a driver. He'll get you the forgiveness you need and can do so with Callaway, Mizuno, Ping, Tour Edge, TaylorMade, Cobra. And log on today, Austads.com. Get fit. Fit clubs. Help your game. And it'll make that long walk not be spoiled by that little white ball. All right, Chris says Fitz is right, but that's not the only reason. Look at the cost of one game for two people. 100 and a half for tickets, 20 for parking, 20 for pregame gaming. That's a hell of a budget, Chris. 20 bucks, I get you. 20 plus foods and drinks, plenty, 20 bucks postgame. 230 bucks goes a long way at X bar, he says, insert bar.
Mm-hmm.
That's not far off. I mean, you're dropping... I don't even know anymore. With what would the cost of South Alabama gonna be?
Anywhere from
what's face on that thing?
Between 50 and 70, probably 50 and 85.
Okay, so let's say
100, maybe like on the side, almost the sideline, maybe.
Right. But. Okay, so let's say it's gonna run you. Let's say it's the 100 and a half. Parking, it will run you 20 if you want to get closer. Maybe you dirty a meter and you get the. The meter maid pops you for $9. So what? Right?
Worth it at that point.
Worth
yeah.
it. And do you have some bros that have a tailgate spot? Hope so. Or do you buy your way into like the Champions Club? Do you know someone who has got passes for you? Hmm. Whatever. I mean, there's a right. 100. Go to the rail yard, kick it down there. And I know that's not. It's not Chicago or Nashville expensive for a beer,
mm-hmm.
but it's still $5 for a beer or $3 for a beer. You're still spending money.
Right.
Then you want food. Then you need food. And then, listen, I bought Junior pizza and Runza's at the last game I took him to, but that's been a while back where he'll eat you out of house and home because he loves ballpark food.
Right.
You're dropping 50 on him.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, you're going to drop $250 to $300 at the game, including tickets, I would think. That's if you pace yourself. Think if you got like 15 kids. You got your own row. No, I get it. It's easier to stay home, order a couple of large pizzas or go frozen pizza, dare I say, and work it that way. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride's next on Hail Varsity Hour 2.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you back. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hour 2, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. It is that time, Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Coach, how we doing?
Good, good. I just had a good weekend. Went up to the Upper Peninsula, the UP of Michigan, and beautiful days. Had a couple of beautiful days, a little rain, but it was nice.
I enjoyed the little time I had away from Radio Row at the Hilton Chicago in your city, Chicago, Coach. I had a heck of a good time. I went to Miller's, I think it was Miller's Pub. It's an old mob hangout, and I had incredible ribs. I've got to ask you if you can choose one in Chicago, what does Charlie McBride eat? Do you go deep dish? Do you go Italian beef? Or do you go ribs?
Listen, I just go to neighborhood places.
That's fine. I'm just asking if you could pick one, what is the Chicago delicacy you would eat?
If I could pick anything, because when I go to jail and get put away for murder, I'm going to have chicken wings.
Okay, so you're saying your last meal's chicken wings. Oh, Coach. That's fine. That's fine. And there were wings that I saw a lot in Chicago that looked incredible. I just didn't have any wings. I went with some ribs. I went with some baby back ribs, and man, the sauce was good.
That would be my second choice. I'd have to do that. I think that my kids have spoiled me because they learned how to use the grill and learn how to cook all these different ways and mm-hmm. all that. And when they cook ribs, whichever the way they cook them, they're good.
No, I got you there. I got you there. But I just had to ask, growing up, did you do a lot of Italian beef?
No, I was growing up, we ate a lot of spaghetti.
There we go. That's fine. That's fine. Spaghetti's very good.
When we went out, to a place that was like a bar restaurant, mm-hmm. and it was a Italian spaghetti place. You know, it was a neighborhood deal, but it was little above the regular, the regular places. It
sure.
Was, you know, you had to wear a shirt.
Right, you had to grow in. You can't wear a tank top, and you had to have a collar. I get you. Well, Coach, a lot of talk in Chicago Thursday and Friday, and Nebraska football kind of the focal point. Really, frankly, kind of the darling Thursday, as their projected favorite in the West, and Scott Frost is all about earning it, and that's very important. From what you were able to see and hear out of Chicago, how do you think Frost and Nebraska handled themselves?
Well, I thought it was good. I mean, he didn't say anything he had to take back, you know, and that's the thing you get yourself in trouble with. And I think by saying that you have to earn it, you have to earn it. It's what went on there is probably a little motivation for all the other teams. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, you know, you don't always want to be the top dog, at least that they think. They'll always put you there, but maybe somebody else along with you. And, you know, so it's not anything you don't have to earn. I mean, talk is cheap and, you know, and things like that. And so, like I said, I've always listened to my father when he sent me off. He said, don't say anything you got to take back. And That's kind of where I'd leave it.
I think you're right, and Nebraska was kind of understated, quietly confident. Loved sitting down with Frost and Mo Berry and Adrian Martinez and Khalil Davis. I mean, it was great to catch up with all of those folks. But the thing with Adrian is the world kind of got to see him, and everyone's impressed. But Mo Berry wants to do something about it, but he's been unhappy about Nebraska being 4-8. And that kid's so passionate, so driven, it's rubbed off on his teammates, Coach.
That's exactly what's good. That's just leadership. And, I mean, you know, it's important that people feel that way about a team because it is contagious. And, you know, they start to realize that, hey, you know, maybe I should be a little more dedicated to the fact. And, you know, it can work especially with younger players. I think it works good. You know, the older players know him pretty well and know what he expects and that type of thing, but the younger ones don't. And until they get in the game with him, you know, they won't understand until he turns around and chews their butt out.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that, you know, and, you know, that's what you're supposed to do if you're going to be a defensive guy. You don't go out and give him a kiss, you know, and he's perfect for that situation.
Coach, a thought on Pat Fitzgerald. Pat's been pretty outspoken. I know you're close with him mm-hmm. and tried to get him to Lincoln, and Fitz was genuinely ticked off. He's always been a guy that has not paid attention to the noise.
Yeah.
But he was all sorts of ticked off that the so-called experts have Northwestern anywhere from fourth to sixth. And just paraphrasing what he said, he always likes coming to Chicago to read about how bad they're going to suck. And you know, they just won the West last year. They're a little Rodney Dangerfield to Northwestern yet again. And what do they need to do to get people to believe?
Well, they got the backup quarterback from what, Clemson?
Yeah, I mean, he's a five-star. You know, they call him five-star.
Yeah, right. So they're sneaking around with probably a few guys that nobody really knows about or things like that. And that's, you know, that kind of, you know, the transfer rule maybe do a few things for Northwestern or for anybody, but especially a smaller school, you know, a school that, you know, doesn't have the recruiting base that a lot of the other schools have. And that, you know, you have to be, even to get into school there, you got to be a special kind of student.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another reason why I think they win, because their kids are all pretty smart kids, and, you know, it's not hard to coach them.
I think Michigan State had a chance to spend time with D'Antonio. He's going to have a defense that would make you smile. I mean, he's got some ball players.
Right.
I think he's also quietly optimistic, quietly confident. Ohio State's new coach, new quarterback. You know, Minnesota's feeling pretty good. I like Michigan State. Penn State's kind of a question. I mean, do they kind of keep it going with where they're at? There was the topic of realignment within the divisions. Do you think you swap out a Purdue or Northwestern and bring in a Michigan State to balance out the East and the West, or do you think the West is about to pop?
I don't know what the Big Ten's different. They don't have any, you know, tradition in the West or tradition in the East. Don't plan on it.
Right.
You know, because it can be a rivalry in itself when you get to that, you know, that championship game. And it's no different than the National League and American League in baseball. I mean, there's a rivalry there, you know. And so I think that by switching people around and doing that stuff, maybe good to find out what's more, you know, what's a better thing for what it is. But every team's different every year. You know, it could be the West has got the best bunch of people going this year, and next year it's somebody else, and then they're talking about switching around, and then they're wrong.
Right.
you know, and so I think a lot of it, really, what they ought to look at is, I think, the travel.
Sure.
You know, it's you know, it's just expensive. And, I mean, you know, by playing teams back here, naturally you have to go play out Rutgers or, during a year, or Maryland or one of those teams. That's fine, but you're not doing it every week.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead. Sorry about that.
Well, in some cases, like we used to do when we were in the old Big 8, Big 12, is take buses sometimes, you know. And, you know, we were the only ones that flew into Oklahoma, Stillwater, and everybody was just, the whole town was out watching, seeing if we got landed. I mean, it wasn't, you know, everybody said, you're not really going to fly in here, are you? And, you know, we did. And, of course, we nearly went to the end of it, but we did it. So, but, you know, there's a lot of things that I think have to go into it. I think, you know, with TV, you have to get them involved. And, you know, it's not just something you just change overnight.
Well, maybe if you let it grow a little bit more. I mean, here are the coaches in the West. I mean, it's fantastic. You've got you got Captain Kirk, and he's been there 21 years, and Iowa's someone you don't really want to mess around with. They're always going to be tough. You got Coach Frost, P.J. Fleck. You got Brohm, Fitz, Lovey. He went to a Super Bowl. And you got Paul Christ, and you know Paul real well. You got pictures of him from junior high to blackmail him with. It's great. What do you think of... What do you think of Wisconsin this year?
Well, I think you better watch out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same old thing. I mean, they're disciplined, and they're probably a little upset with where people are talking about Nebraska and all this stuff when they, you know, put the ball in the end zone against them and stuff like that a lot. So, you know, it's they're kind of looking up saying, "What are you talking about?"
Mm-hmm.
And so Nebraska's going to have to prove it every game. And if they do, then all hell will break loose because they're back, you know. And even if they have a good year, I mean, a good by winning 8, 9 games, maybe 10, I don't know, you know, if you get that far. But you know, if you win eight games, I would think that would be really, really special. And but if you get going on the right path, it's all the way to the, you know, to the penthouse. So, you know, I think that it's going to depend on defensively. It's always going to depend on the defense being good. Mm-hmm. I don't care which way you cut it. And I think this year, I think there's no question if the offensive line can get out and mash people and not just play brownies and fairies, go get somebody and stone them. And, you know, they've got to get, you know, really to be a bunch of tough guys. So that's what you do, you know, and those things are important. It's not that you're, we got good athletes here, we got good athletes there. That doesn't mean anything, because Florida had the better athletes than we could ever imagine as far as at their wideouts and their secondary mm-hmm. and line, guys that could run. And, you know, we put it on them good. And that's just an example of a team that probably doesn't have the athletes but has maybe, I don't know, I always said that after the game that we beat them with our character.
Sure.
And that probably is what it did. Guys that really stayed on, you know, with their nose down into the grindstone and just kept pumping. And they didn't. And they didn't practice like they wanted. They just practiced like they were going to roll their hats on the field.
Sure.
And so.
Charlie McBride's with us. Mondays with Charlie. Coach, there's been some talk about facility upgrades, and Coach Frost is touched on that, you know, when the facilities were built last and upgraded last, and this was back in 04, that it was for a different number of fellas, and they got 150-plus on the team now, so the weight yeah. room isn't as big as it needs to be, the meeting rooms aren't as big as it needs to be. And what's your take on facilities? Was it something that concerned you and Coach Osborne? I've got about 2 minutes left. Well, it seemed like Nebraska was always good with the facility upgrades when you were there.
Right, and I don't think they'll just jump out at something. I think they'll really, really, really plan for the future. Yeah, if you know they're going to go in a different direction as far as meeting and things like that, if they're going to change stuff. But I definitely think that I would not like to see a walk-on locker room.
Gotcha.
Okay, you know, I don't want to even. I wouldn't even want that to happen. But again, when you have a lot of players, you've got to. You know, it's like having a practice area for the women when they didn't have anything. They had to practice at 9 o'clock in the morning or 6 at night and switch with the men, and it was really inconvenient. And right now these kids are dressing in probably someplace over in the old Devaney building, if they're still doing that, you know, there, which they're not. But you know, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard on them. And you know, here I am here again another year, and they didn't move me up to this room. We sure. heard some of that.
Sure.
You know, because the guys wanted to be moved up to the varsity locker room from there. And it was because of numbers.
Mm. Charlie McBride.
So that's got to be something that they really have to be careful with.
It is. Coach, we'll run you down, my friend, next Monday as we're getting closer to camp. Looking forward to it. Thanks so much for the time today. It was so much fun to talk.
Okay. Thanks for having me. I'll see you next week.
All right, Coach. You take care.
Okay. You bet. Bye now.
There he is. He's got to tell me about the game Brownies and Fairies sometime. He's referenced it before. Greg Smith is coming up. Recruiting analyst. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Gotta love Coach McBride. Greg Smith in moments, reminding you about your friends at West Blue Realty. They specialize in residential home sales in Lincoln and surrounding communities. They'll make that next move a smooth one for you. When you mention Hail Varsity for a limited time, West Blue Realty can provide up to $1,000 upon the closing of your next home purchase. Give Tom Luby a shout, 402-540-3768, or find Kelly Hoffschneider, 402-202-2312 for more details. It pays to work with West Blue. West Blue Realty Com. He's been moving all over the globe following recruits, checking in, talking to them, and getting some recon going. It's Greg Smith. Gregors, I have missed you. I haven't called you Gregors forever. That's two in 20 seconds. Don't hang up. How have you been?
I'm very well. I'm rested. I'm trying to get adjusted, back adjusted to this time zone after getting home yesterday.
So you're back from Seattle?
Yeah, we were out the Pacific Northwest. We did Seattle, we did Cannon Beach, we did Portland. It's kind of all over the place up there.
Good, man. Greg Smith with us, recruiting analyst, HailVarsity.com and magazine, at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. So you're getting back into the swing of things. We're back from Chicago, from media days, and it didn't disappoint. It wasn't super buzzy or newsworthy as far as drama or sound bites per se. From Nebraska's perspective, really, it was just Harbaugh being Harbaugh on some things that was pretty entertaining, and Fitzgerald got a little testy, which is all good. But I wanted to ask you here from a recruiting standpoint, what's been on your radar? What's been on Nebraska's radar? And let's start out with Demetrius Davis, phenomenal quarterback out of Houston. The world wants the kid. It wasn't that long ago he was in Lincoln.
Yeah, he was in Lincoln for spring practice. I saw that he had put out the video from his visit. I think he put that out while I was actually out of town. It kind of created some confusion, but it was a dead period, so he was not in Lincoln then. It was during the spring, and he really likes Nebraska. Like, he's got a great relationship building with Coach Verduzco, Coach Frost as well. He likes the offensive fit. The thing is with him is, and we talked a little bit about this, I've written a little bit about it, is that 2021 group of quarterbacks in the state of Texas is really, really talented. And you've already got a couple of them off of the board already. And, you know, he's going to be back. Davis will be at Texas A&M this weekend for their big event for recruiting. And Nebraska is hoping to get Davis back on campus for a game or two even this coming fall.
You know, A&M, where are they at with their 2021 quarterbacks? And with Nebraska, their quarterback room, I assume 2021's open?
Yeah, so Texas A&M already has one quarterback in the boat for 2021, who Nebraska actually had offered as well. But still, they're undecided apparently at this point, talking to some people down there on whether or not they're going to take two quarterbacks in that class or not. That, I think, to me, is kind of the big thing to keep an eye on as it relates to Demetrius Davis and Nebraska. I think the Texas A&M is the big competition for him. And again, we're talking about a 2021 guy, so Nebraska's luckily in a position where even if he came off the board to A&M or, you know, he decided to keep delaying the decision, you know, they've already got the 2020 guy. They've got a couple of other 2021 guys, Marucci and Peter Costelli on campus already as well. So they're well into their evaluation of 2021 quarterbacks. But like you mentioned, Davis is a super talent. I think it was the Texas newcomer of the year for quarterbacks last year. He's a really good player, so Nebraska is high on him. But I think A&M is definitely the team to watch out for here.
Well, I mean, Jimbo's got history with Jameis in a national championship. I know that's down at Florida State, but you have Frost, and he has history with Mariota at Oregon. And, of course, what Adrian's doing here, and you have Super Mario, too. I mean, he's got a great setup with Nebraska specific to the quarterback spot. And Demetrius Davis, Double D, is a dude. I mean, didn't he win this? He's in Houston, so we're talking big-time high school football. Didn't they win the state title last year, or were they close to it?
Yeah, they won the state championship on a game-winning touchdown pass, Hail Mary, from him. And he put up gaudy numbers. He's a big-time player. Like, and you're right about the quarterback situation going forward at Nebraska. It's one of those things that, you know, I don't think Nebraska fans should worry much about quarterback going forward. Nebraska seems to get the guys that they want, and they do have a good history, both Verduzco and Frost, developing those guys once they get a hold of them. But another one of those kinds of coaches, though, is Jimbo Fisher. Whatever you feel about, you know, his contract at A&M or what he's going to eventually do down there, he does have a good history with quarterbacks.
Greg, what's your gut telling you here about running backs for 2020? who's out there for Nebraska, and where do they stand with some of the prospects?
Yeah, I think the first guy to mention is Savion Morrison, who came here last month on an official visit from Oklahoma. He had over 2,000 yards last season. I think he's a guy that at any time, he has not set a decision date. He said August 22nd he would like to commit. If he holds on to that date, I really like Nebraska there, especially if he doesn't take any visits, but other visits between that Nebraska official and that decision date. Another running back that Nebraska had on campus for an official visit, Marvin Scott III out of Florida. I'm interested what happens with him because he liked the visit to Nebraska, he told me, but I just get the feeling that he's waiting around to see if any of those Florida schools offer him, namely the Gators. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. But other than that, you know that Ryan Held, Scott Frost have done a nice job of recruiting running backs to their system. That's another one that you just don't really worry about too much. You know the guys are going to continue to emerge at that position, and Held will turn over every stone that he can.
Also, Darvin Hubbard, he's a big-time back out of Arizona. He had committed and then decommitted from Ohio State, so he's there. When you look at Morrison and Scott and Hubbard, style of back, are they the Duckard folks, or are they kind of your ground-and-pound guy? What style is Nebraska trying to land?
No, I think that those guys are more balanced or ground-and-pound. Like, Scott is more ground-and-pound. Hubbard and Morrison are more balanced. I think Will Nixon, who Nebraska just landed, their most recent commit, is more of that Duck R type guy. And they may look to add one or so more Duck R type of guys. But yeah, I think that those running backs are more your balanced or ground and pound types.
Greg Smith's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine recruiting analyst at Greg Smith HV. Greg, what'd you soak in from media days? I know you were off in Pac-12. Land. That said, I mean, what's your reaction to the Nebraska buzz? What's your reaction to Harbaugh?
You know, what was interesting from a Nebraska perspective to me is how they handled the buzz. And it really felt like business as usual. And you kind of mentioned in the beginning that there weren't a lot of, like, big sound bites or, like, buzzy things that happened. But actually, for Nebraska perspective, but I actually think that's a good thing, right? I don't think that you wanted them coming in, beating their chest, or really doing anything too crazy. You wanted to kind of come in, show Mulberry's leadership, have people get introduced to Khalil Davis, and then let Adrian be Adrian on the national stage, right? I thought that objective complete on that. The Harbaugh situation is really interesting, as it always is. I thought that he was a little bit different this time around because with them being kind of the favorites in the Big Ten, though I would not make them the favorites because until he actually beats Ohio State, even though Urban's not there, I'm not making them the favorites until that happens. He's just always good for some wacky clips and some sound. But I was shocked, actually, that he said that he thought that everyone should be able to transfer one time without penalty, though. I'm really stunned that happened.
Well, I just think it's kind of a runaway train. You can't fight it, otherwise you're going to get labeled, right, as being draconian. I'm not sure where – I think his – I mean, he's a guy that's just going to shoot you straight. The way he does it, though, is what rubs people wrong because he's been kind of the master of hype. And you have him telling the truth about Urban and just, you know, bad things following Urban. I forget the exact term, but he didn't back away from it, which I applaud. He stood his ground with that. But then, with SiriusXM getting into the whole mental health. And he's just like, look, don't lie. If you have mental issues or you have some mental health concerns, if there's depression, please tell us. Don't BS us about it with it being a loophole. If you are depressed and you need someone to talk to, let's talk. You know, and I get where he's coming from. He's just not very sugar-coated.
No, and I think that's the thing, is that even the times where you may agree with him, like a lot of that stuff that you just laid out, I agree with him, and it's just the way that he comes across.
Like, it's how he says it.
Yeah, it just doesn't come off right, and you still find yourself even conflicted even when you agree with him. But the urban stuff, I thought that was actually really interesting as well, because like he mentioned, I'm glad he kind of said, you know, all of you guys in the room have written this stuff anyway, so I don't know why that stuff was all that controversial. I was with him there, too.
Yeah, they were looking for something. What's your take on Fitz? Fitz was ticked off. Stats are for losers, Greg.
I think he's taken Kirk Ferentz's place as like the resident curmudgeon. Between that and, you know, the rant against technology and phones, which I get it. He can't come out and say, hey, we're pricing people out of these games because we've got to build these new facilities on the water. And it costs people too much to come to the game and to park and to eat concessions, right? And they're uncomfortable. He can't say that. So
your field sucks. It's a high school. Your practice
right.
facilities. Incredible.
The other team comes out and really fills up our stadium. Like, he can't say all of that, so I get that. But he's really taken a turn for being kind of the young coach at his alma mater that people kind of like to. He's just kind of the curmudgeon. Like I said, he took Kirk Ferentz's place, which is really fascinating to see unfold.
He just wins, too. We had a chance to get caught up with James Franklin and PJ Fleck and Coach Frost, and I mean, just fascinating. About 45 seconds, yay or nay, on the topic of realignment. I'm nay, because I think the West is on their way up, and I'm not saying the East is on their way down, but I think you've got two really good sides with talented coaches that are going to be existent for a while.
Yeah, I'm a big nay on that. I'm with you. And I think it was Fleck that mentioned, you know, the coaching talent in the Big Ten West and how that's going to be the thing that changes the tide. And I completely agree with him on that, even though it's weird to say out loud I agree with PJ Fleck on something. Don't hold that against me, guys. But, yeah, I agree with him there. I think that's what's going to turn the tide. And what Scott Frost said about when Nebraska is Nebraska, that'll make the Big Ten West look better. You have to have that big-time team on that side. And as good as Wisconsin has been, they just don't qualify as that in most cases.
Gregers, we'll get caught up later on. Thanks for the time today, bud.
Hey, thanks as always, man.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Good stuff from Greg Smith and Charlie McBride this hour. We'll run down Carter Coughlin, second team All Big Ten performer from Minnesota, in a moment. I want to remind you about Madonna Therapy Plus at Proactive. And I'm talking about their Swing Well program. Still plenty of golf left in your summer and into the fall. Why not see Darren Bryant and be part of the Swing Well Golf Assessment and Fitness Program with Madonna Therapy Plus at Proactive? That's 56th and Pine Lake in Lincoln at 402-420-0004. So when you go see Darren Bryant, the Titleist Performance Institute, he's certified in golf fitness. He'll give you a physical evaluation combined with video analysis, and he'll customize exercises for you. If you got a bad neck or back swinging the clubs and it's really jacked your game, well, Darren Bryant can help you. And the Swing Well Golf Assessment, it's not a golf lesson, but it's designed to give your body the help it needs to swing the way you want. You can log on MadonnaTherapyPlus.org. The Swing Well program with Madonna Therapy Plus at Proactive is a must if you're a bit creaky and crampy and uncomfortable swinging the clubs. Let's talk with Carter Coughlin, defensive end with Minnesota, and those Gophers as a favorite or a dark horse in 2019. Carter Coughlin with us, Hail Varsity Radio. 9.5 sacks for you, tied for second in the Big Ten. Second-team all-conference honors, some first-team all-conference honors. And where do you kind of get the anger slash motor from when it comes to making a difference on third and long or third and medium?
You know, to be honest with you, I just love playing football. And so, you know, when I'm out there and it's crunch time, I'm like, you know, I want it on my shoulders. I want the pressure. I want to be the one that has to go out and make a play, just because that's how I'm wired. And it's stuff like that just keeps me going all game.
You've come off the edge. You're also linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the difficulty like, or is it, to be great at both, to be great at coverage, to be great against the run, but also be the difference maker off the edge? I mean, those are the dudes, along with quarterbacks, that get paid massive mm-hmm. sums of money but your motive's love, it sounds like, with getting after the quarterback. How do you become great or at your own level with all three phases?
Yeah, you know, I think that's the most difficult thing about the position I'm in, because pass rush is something that the best of the best take incredible amount of time and you know, time investment to really perfect. But then, you know, that goes into coverage, that goes into reading blocks and all that stuff. So it's been something that's really developed over 3 years for me, just because, you know, being able to do everything well in just 1 year is out of the question.
Do you have enough patience, though, to not get down or beat yourself up?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I'm incredibly tough on myself, but I think that's what makes football fun, is when I take the next step. When I look at something, I'm like, I can't do this, so I'm going to get better at that. And that's what's really fun for me.
Minnesota last year, what an end of the year. And what sticks out most to you about last season? And we're moving forward. It's 2019. I get it. But what sticks in your craw, good or bad, about last year?
You know, I think what sticks out is just the major contrast that we saw between the middle of the season and the end of the season. And I think that's a great picture that guys like me and a bunch of the younger guys can kind of hold in our minds, because we know what great football looks like and we know what terrible football looks like. And so, you know, especially from a defensive standpoint, you know, we need to pursue that defense that we had it towards the end of the season, that energy, all that kind of stuff.
The game that kind of wowed me, and I know you came up to Lincoln and Nebraska was hurting and it went well, and Nebraska was really talented last year. It just took them a while to get going. That's who my listeners cover or listen for. But the Gophers, man, I mean, Nebraska fans were thinking, oh, my God, here comes 0-7. And, you know, you guys battled back. I think there were about 10 points on the boards that got taken off the first couple of drives. So you fast forward, and I'm like, you guys drill an insanely talented Purdue team. You guys go win in Madison, and nobody wins in Madison. Mm-hmm. What kind of flipped it for you to go get that Purdue game and that Wisconsin game to show the best you could be versus the inconsistency?
You know, I think it was really just a focus on the details, especially from a defensive standpoint. We had a lot of guys who
changed coordinators too, didn't
we? We changed coordinators, yep. And we had a lot of guys that knew what they were supposed to be doing, but not till the detail that was required. And so as players, we really hammered that home. And, you know, it helped with, you know, the coaches making that kind of emphasis and stuff. But, shoot, that's the difference that you guys saw.
What's Coach Fleck like? And I ask that because I've seen the social media. I've seen the footage. I know what he's done at different programs. So I see the track record. But on the day-to-day, what's the guy like?
What's crazy to me is that Coach Fleck is who he is on the media every single day. And
so that is him.
That's him. And it, to me, I'm like, man, I'd get so worn out. But that dude has like just a life motor. Like, we talk about having a motor in football. That dude just has a life motor. I mean, he's always energetic. He's always excitable. I can go in there and talk to him about anything. He's a real person, but he's full of life. So he's really fun to play for.
Senior defensive standout Carter Coughlin with us, linebacker and Russian kind of hybrid specialist with us, Hale Varsity Radio. With Fleck, did he recruit you or did he inherit you?
He inherited me.
So how is that?
Coach Fleck came in and he said, you guys didn't choose me, I chose you. And so that's something that, you know, anytime you get a new coaching staff, you lose coaches, you have to develop trust. And I've had a different position coach every single year that I've played college football.
Does that just wear you out, man?
It does, but I think it really depends on how you look at it. Because, sure, it's a time investment to develop trust, and that's something that really only comes with time. But at the same time, I've got perspectives from four different coaches. It gives me a whole picture, and I think that's actually gives me a major advantage.
See, is your beer half full or half empty, depending on the situation,
mm-hmm,
right?
Absolutely.
Because, man, it can be, oh, man, I love this guy. I'm so close to to kind of settling in with a coach, but you're also learning more tricks of the trade.
Absolutely.
Fair to say?
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay, Iowa, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Northwestern, Purdue, Illinois. How different is this West from the West you came into?
I think you just see across the line that every single team is capable of beating anybody. So it really is going to challenge teams that, I mean, shoot, if you don't prepare 1 week, you're going to pay for it on Saturday.
That's what I'm most excited about covering football. You're playing it. You're loving it. But it's going to be tight, and it's going to be a one-score game, it feels like, every Saturday. I look at Nebraska's schedule for my listeners. I look at the round robin you're going to have in the West, and then the crossovers.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what you want, though. I mean, that's what makes it so exciting to play college football and to watch college football.
That's awesome, man. Well, it's good to get caught up and chat some Big Ten football. Carter Coughlin, really good defensive player. You'll see him. Well, Nebraska travels. We may be on site that weekend of October 12th, as we may take a little road trip up to see you. Could be the game of the year in the Big Ten West between
Love it.
Nebraska and Minnesota.
That's what I'm talking about.
Carter, congrats, man. Best
Thank you.
To you. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time on a Monday podcast. Going to be up for you shortly. And some of the greatest sound from McBride, from Greg Smith, from Carter Coughlin on that ESPN Lincoln Twitter handle, the SoundCloud, and our Chicago experience is all up there for you on the On Demand with ESPN Lincoln and, of course, Hail Varsity. iTunes with the podcast. So you had more men enshrined in Cooperstown. And Harold Baines and Edgar Martinez, both guys just professional studs when it came to slamming the baseball as designated hitters. Roy Halladay is a guy that I always really appreciated. Mm-hmm. I won't say I was a fan, but I think he was just a tough pitcher. Mike Mussina could have been another 300-game winner had he got the hell out of Baltimore earlier. Mm-hmm. And I remember Moose being probably wasn't the first, but it felt like he was the first, like, 4.62 ERA guy to win a Cy Young. And he had that stupid knuckle curve. Right, it was just crazy. But Mariano Rivera, and I was beat over the head by my roommate Matt in college, huge Yankee fan, right? I mean, Matt was the biggest freaking Yankee fan, and they got good with Paul O'Neill and Brocious, and this was late 90s. So I didn't hate that team because they were all kind of blue-collar guys. Mm-hmm. And I, like, being a Red Sox guy, I wanted Poppy and those guys to win it, but what's nuts is Rivera. And I remember when I first started doing radio, they'd have me run some of the World Series games. And I'd blow those up, but eventually I got decent at, you know, turning things on and off, right? They stuck with me. But I remember against Arizona, right? And I was going hard for Arizona, and I know it was 9/11, mm-hmm. and the series resumed, and the sentiment was for the Yanks to win it for New York. But I loved me Mark Grace. And Arizona found a way to win, and Gonzalez got the jam shot right over second base off of Rivera, mm-hmm. who hadn't, like, blown a save ever. And even his pitches and his location in that moment were good. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody. Did he even average, like, a blown save a season?
Probably not.
I mean, he maybe had, like, what, 12 his whole career? I'm going to Google that.
I think.
But Mariano is so much fun because he just had that stupid cutter mm-hmm. that just crushed people.
Yeah, I think the stat for, I think it still exists. If I am quoting it correctly, that is, I think more men have walked on the moon than have scored on Mariano Rivera in the playoffs.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah. I don't know... like, what about that cutter that worked for him so well, but he made a hell of a career.
Oh, it's incredible. And it's 652 for Mo. And I'll be honest with you.
Total saves?
Yeah. And he finished his career with 950. He appeared in 952 games. So the thing that made me smile about Mo was when it was time for him to retire. It was Bernie, and it was Posada that went and got him. I really liked that.